reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping.
You're now dialed into the Voice of Tor podcast with your host, Luke Hay. The Voice of Tor podcast is brought to you by Westchester Mulch Company and FMF Rental.
Secretly stern as they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going to... before every round, but I kind of dropped the ball here with last round there, the dry branch. I was trying to get myself ready to race, get my bike down there for the vintage setup that we have going, and I just kind of dropped the ball. I ran out of time between work and all that good stuff, so apologize. I hope we have some loyal listeners out there that were just devastated, but we're back. So without further ado, just want to get rolling into tonight's show. I have got Sammy on the line. Sammy, you there, bud?
What's going on?
There he is. And we're just going to try to give you guys, again, obviously a little preview of some of the stuff we have going down for this weekend, and also just kind of what's been going on for the past couple weeks since we missed you guys, and give you a little bit of a points update on everything since we are obviously heading into the end of the season here with two rounds left to go. It's crazy to think that it's been basically a full year here since we started this little thing called Tour last year with our little Triple Crown. We had some racing here in the deep part of November and even going into December, and we're right back in the thick of it again here at the end of the season. I know a lot of other series, some of the nationals, have all come to a close, and there's still a couple of tour rounds left on the calendar. So if you've been considering it or eyeballing it all season and it just hasn't worked out with your schedule, there's still time. So we'll hope to see you guys out there. And that leads me to my next point, Sammy. I know obviously this is a repeat. This is our second time coming down here to the judge, but just give everybody just a quick refresher, if and anyone who missed it, what are we looking at this weekend?
Yeah, so first round of the year, crazy to think that it's been been that long, but you're looking at a quick, open, more open, sandy, kind of rough, not quite as silty as the last round in Franklinville, but definitely sandy, more like a beach.
You there, Sam?
Oh,
yeah, I was more like a beach that you said. It's more like beach sand.
Just like beach sand, just those open pineys, just kind of just some good flowy, good trail.
Yeah, now you say that, but I kind of disagree a little bit, because I think when you say beach sand, I think of the Mad Bass, because that was literally like riding on the beach. I think that the judge is a little bit more forgiving. I think it's a little bit more, kind of like loamy soil. You know, there's some rooty stuff. It's not totally, totally like riding on the beach. Would you say, you think I'm crazy, or do you think do you think it's a little bit more dirt?
Yeah, I think it breaks down quick too.
That's true.
I didn't really get a chance to see too much of Mad Bass afterwards. I know it was just rough everywhere, and I feel like at the end of Paul's race, or at the end of the judge, I should say, it almost had like a flowy sand, like it kind of, everything still kind of flowed pretty good. It was just choppy.
Yeah, and I did do a lap actually at Mad Bass on Monday. I took your quad actually and cruised through that trail, and dude, it was not easy getting through there even with the 4x4. I can only imagine what it was like riding a small bore or a small mini bike through there, just trying to keep it pinned and keep that front end up plowing through that.
Yeah, I was about to say, even on like a 125, trying to keep the front end up in the lightest class, it's challenging.
Yeah. So hopefully that's I'm hoping it's not going to be that bad this weekend, because I'll be doing the vintage race again, and I dodged that. Mad Bass was not on the vintage race schedule, so I didn't have to do it then. I don't know. We're getting back into this South Jersey sands, and it's not my style.
You'll have a pretty fresh course too. That should help you guys out a little bit.
Yeah. So, have you been down there since we started working on everything? I have not been able to check it out.
No, I haven't this week. Like we were talking about before we got started here, had the little one taking up a little bit more time.
Yes.
Trying to keep in that routine.
Last time we had you on the podcast, we talked about the possibility of a little baby joining us here for the last rounds. And you want to tell everybody what happened?
Yeah, so she was perfectly timed herself, came in right between rounds. And so me and Kate had our baby girl, Riley, a month ago, actually, today. So she snuck out at the last race on Saturday, and we've seen some people, but they'll both be out all weekend running around, and nothing like being at a dirt bike race with a 1 month old. So she's getting it in her own.
Yeah, got it. Truly the definition of starting them young.
Yeah. But yeah, in terms of the track out there, I've talked to Tegan a couple times this week, trying to line up water trucks. I know they were making a big push. I just got a video of them watering tonight in the dark.
Yeah, I saw that. It's on the story. Yeah, if you guys are following along, check out the Instagram.
Yeah, so I know there's two water trucks out there now. Keynes is down, and then the big water truck's down. And then Friday we got another one coming that'll kind of help with the parking lot. And they laid it out so we can get water trucks on a good majority of the track. So I think it's still going to be dusty, but it'll definitely help.
Yeah, so again, folks, we're doing our best we can to water the track. I know that it's been pretty brutal for the racers all up and down the East Coast, but particularly here in the tri-state area. I mean, I was definitely experiencing it. I think I still am. You can kind of hear it in my voice. Maybe I'm a little nasally. You know, I've had this like chest congestion and a little bit of a head cold since the since the last race. And it's been, you know, maybe not since the last race, because it's been almost 3 weeks. But yeah, for at least like the last 2 weeks, I've been fighting it. And I've seen a lot of posts on some of the pages on the and some of the racers' Instagrams and stuff. A lot of guys are talking about how brutal the dust has been. You know, there's been some chest infections and stuff, and some of the riders and people are really just fighting the dust as best they can, and so are we. But you know, we're not giving up. We're not going to, I've seen that. We've also had a lot of questions, you know, people commenting and messaging us asking, you know, is the, lack of rain going to affect the event? And the answer is yes, it's going to be dusty. You know, like we're going to be there. We're going to be doing everything we can to manage it, but it's not getting canceled. We're not afraid of the dust, but yeah, it's going to be a factor, and we're doing everything we can to manage it. The watering trucks you guys have seen, and kind of stepping it up because of the whole GP format and the shorter course lengths, we are able to access the majority of the track with our little stubby water trucks. We got Canes. It's like a Chevy 4500 with or 5500. You know, it's got like a 1500 gallon water tank on the back of it, and the thing is tight and can get in between the trees and kind of deep back in the trail, and does a great job for us. And kind of got an endless supply of water with some of the big lakes around us down there in that area. So it's not typical, for any series, let alone a tiny little local like this, to be, you know, carrying around, tanker trucks, quite literally tractor trailers, pulling water around from round to round to try to put a good product out there for you guys. And by good product, I mean a good race course and a safe course and one that you can enjoy without hacking up a lung. So, it's yet to be seen what it's going to look like this weekend. But I have a good feeling that we're going to have a pretty good handle on some of it, in the areas that we can get to and can control. We're not saying we're watering the entire track, but we're also watering some of it. So that's better than none.
And a feeling I kind of heard from a lot of the racers was, one, it was just the fact that we were trying, but two, even if it was two or three corners, you got a break and got out of the dust, got a good couple breaths in, could push for a second.
Yeah.
You know, just to break it up. That's all we're trying to do, is just give you guys the most manageable race that we can.
Yeah. And we wouldn't be anything but a challenge here, of course, as we're coming into the end. And we're ready for it. Hopefully Mod Nature helps us out a little bit here and sends us some rain sooner or later. But in the meantime, we have some very, very dedicated guys helping us out, and we're going to push through.
Yeah, and the guys that have been out there all week are busting their butts and putting together an awesome, awesome event, awesome track for you guys. So if you guys see Kane and Tegan and Jeffrey and Justin, and I'm not really sure who else is out there, but man, when you see those guys, tell them thank you. Say, hey, yeah, we appreciate it, because it goes a long way.
Yeah, it, people here, you know, appreciate hearing it. I know it goes a long way, especially when I love hearing when the kids, in particular, are up on the podium and, you know, they take the time to thank the tour staff or say thanks to Teagan for putting on the race. I think that's pretty cool stuff and some pretty good parenting there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so yeah, kind of got the track kind of laid out. For everybody who wasn't there, it's kind of a pretty sweet layout. You're going to come in off of the main road. Sammy, you probably know what it is. Couldn't tell you the main highway down there you're going to turn off of.
Cedarville Millville Road is what we call it.
Okay, there you go, Cedarville Millville Road. And then you're going to turn into a big, wide open field. You're going to be obviously on a path. There is a driveway. You're going to stay on the driveway. You'll hit the, what am I looking for? What do we call those people at the sign up? No, it's not, that's, I want to call them sign up. Like at the front gate. Yeah, see people at the gate. You'll pay your admission fees, get your bracelets, all that good stuff. And then you're going to continue on and park behind the tree line. So you're going to pull up and it's going to look kind of like weird because you're not going to see any campers or anything right away. And then just continue on down the driveway and you'll see obviously where everybody's parked. And then you'll find the registration, the tour store, and the podium and all that good stuff. Just like any other race, kind of all centrally located. And the extreme section, not far from all that as well. I can almost see the extreme section from the podium area and the signups. And gosh, start, I can't, oh yes, I do recall the start. Yep, so yeah, start's not far from podium either. So yeah, everything is pretty tight and not really spread out. Walking is not really a challenge at this one. Obviously we're in South Jersey, it's going to be flat and it's going to be dry, so you guys shouldn't have any problems parking or anything like that. Plenty of space, and yeah, it should be another great weekend at the races. I'm excited to get back to it, excited to be doing some riding and racing myself again. If you guys didn't hear about it, we got the Vintage Triple Crown going on the last three rounds here. We're midway through, and it is a real nail biter out there in the pre-2004 class. So yeah, if you guys got some old bikes there starting as young, I should say, as 20 years old, it's considered vintage. Bring it out, and we got a class for you. So with that said, let's move on here. We were trying to get into some of our forecasting here. Sammy and I are kind of your go-to source for racers and who's who and who's in what class. The two of us combined can kind of figure out whoever is on the track at any given time and tell you what class they're in, and even probably what class they're in, who they are, and how many points they have. We're pretty obsessed with this stuff, and I feel like we kind of owe it to the racers too. You know, all the dedicated people that show up every weekend to kind of get familiar with them and give them their props, especially the pro class guys and the, but even the the amateurs and the kids. You know, everybody knows that's important to me, at least to get familiar with everybody. And I like to have a good background when I'm up there on the podium with everybody, and even when I'm running my mouth when I have a good PA system or something. You know, it helps to know a little bit about everybody throughout all the ranks. But we're just going to try to focus here on some of the more premier classes and talk about some of the our forecasting here, if you will, because some championships have been locked up, and others, like the Women's Pro and the Pro class in general, are still up for grabs, and it's going to come down to the final couple rounds. So without further ado, we'll start it off here with the... I'll let you take it off here, Sammy, since you did some of those, some of the more amateur or, I don't want to say less important, but we'll cap it with the pro guys, and then we'll second to last, we'll do women's pro. So you tell me what you got.
Let's do A200.
All right.
So A200, I love A200. If you've ever down on the line with me, I normally make a shout out to Mike out there on the KDX 200.
Yeah, the Woods weapon. Love that.
Just an animal. He's got a decent lead. Him and Noah were battling for most of the year, but Mike's up. Mike's got 188 points if you count the drops, and then Noah's got 154. So Mike's got a nice cushion there.
Yeah, and then I look here. I have I'm staring at my computer. Third place right now in that class is Ian Wiseman, and he has only made it to four rounds. It gets pretty spotty there in the A200 class after that with people.
We've had a couple. Justin Penrose just got a new 125, so he was at the last two, and he's put together some good rides.
Keith Hughes, he won last week. I'm not familiar with Keith, but Keith took a W there at Dry Branch. Ryan Gribben, he took a W there at the Judge 1. Maybe he'll show back up.
I think he moved on to four strokes, so he's 250 now.
Gotcha. Yeah. Then
but Jeffrey Dunham too. He put it on the podium at Dry Branch. He'll be out again this weekend. A local kid. So
sweet.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some contenders floating around in that class.
Yeah, it's a tough one because, like you said, guys tend to move on off that small bore after a certain time. You know, it's a funny. I'm a little worried here because I see that Noah hasn't raced. He might have conceded it because he didn't, and I did see him on a four stroke, so he didn't race at Dry Branch or Mad Bass in A200. So perhaps Noah moved on. And also, shout out to Noah and his pop. They come to every race, and Noah's bikes are always so fresh. He's always, I'm not sure if it's him or his pop, but somebody's taken a lot of time to polish like every single piece of metal that you can take off that bike. Those things are pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, and that's the best when you can see the craftsmanship and just taking care of bikes.
Yeah, they definitely it stands out for sure. People wonder how you get like that, and there's only one way, and it's a lot of time sitting in the shop spinning that thing on a wheel.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So you said A200, and what else you got?
Yeah, let's do 250. 250 had a wide range of people racing this year, but the two that kind of stuck out that are there at the top, you have Alan Atkins. He's got 188, and then you have Tucker. I always mess up his last name. Bogettis.
Oh, no, I think I finally got it figured out. So Tucker, you have to message me if I screw this up, but it's Bettages. Tucker Bettages. Bettages.
Yeah, so they're still – Tucker's got 179, and Alan's got 188. So they're still in a decent battle. Tucker had a rough race at the last one. His worst race of the year, and Alan's just been Mr. Consistent, going 1-2 every weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how they finish that one out.
Yeah, no doubt. It's that's exciting. Yeah, I didn't realize that Tucker had a couple of wins snuck in there. I'm looking at that now, and then struggled with the dust at Dry Branch. He ended with a seventh. So yeah, that's a sweet one to watch. I love watching all the Atkins boys too. They are notoriously throwing off their goggles. And I'm always just kind of ribbing them any chance I can because it's not just one of them or two of them. Well, actually, no, that's another thing I should address too. There's four of them out there on the track. and so at any given time, there's one or two or maybe three on the track. But you can always tell them who's who because they're not wearing their goggles. But it's funny, like a family signature.
I was standing at the finish line waiting for the boys to come through. And I was standing there with Alan's mom, and she was like, This is the only race all year Alan actually had his goggles on. He wore them all the way to the finish.
Yeah, they were telling me that he made some modifications. It's not a vision thing, a problem for them. It's a they feel like a little bit of like it's like hard to breathe, you know, kind of like pressure on the nose, I guess.
Yeah, and absolutely.
He chopped out a bunch of the foam, I think, did some custom factory mods there, and he was able to keep them on, and it kept his vision clear. So I think he was thankful. They're evolving. That's what we're doing here at Tour. Racers are evolving.
Yeah. That's sweet.
All right, who else you got? What else you got for me?
This is the class that is just going at it this year. A Open.
Oh yeah, yeah. This has been so much fun to watch.
The boys in A Open are just—they're animals. that's the only way I can explain it. So, just right off the rip, you have Big Joe, and you got Paulie. Tied, pulling walnuts. They're tied with 173.
So with the drops, that's what it shakes out to.
Yeah, tied with 173, and man, there's a lot of changes in that. Joe went to the Suzuki.
Yeah,
clearly didn't work out for him. That thing is long gone.
Yeah,
and I'm hearing rumblings. I'm hearing rumblings that he'll be here this weekend on a blue bike, but I also heard rumblings that he won't be here at all. So I don't know.
I would be disappointed to see him throw it away. It's been a fun battle. Hopefully he doesn't have something else going on, and maybe he's just, you know, feeling a little beaten up. I know he's been up against it this season with that bike for one, and then he took a pretty bad spill. But we were talking about that deep sand, and Yeah, it's been a long season for our racers, that's for sure. I think everybody's been enjoying the hell out of it, but I think a lot of in particular, I think a lot of our youth racers, I think a lot of our youth parents are ready for this season to be over. I think so are their checkbooks and their bank accounts as well. It's yeah. been new bikes, lots of parts. You know, it's been when you're dedicated and you're coming out every weekend, it's not easy to keep a bike on the racetrack, and you got to pay to play. That's the name of the game.
And I think, a lot of our families race other series and run GNCCs and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think, coming from a local South Jersey guy, it seems like we have more and more races canceled every year. So
yeah.
having a full-blown series that's 13 rounds is it's a tall task. I mean, just coming to every round and finishing, heck, just doing 10 rounds is a huge deal. So yeah,
it is.
It's a lot. It is absolutely a lot.
Yeah,
you and before feel... we
go on.
Oh, sorry. No, I was gonna say before we move on, we still got a battle for third place in A Open too.
Yeah, so I see that between Zach G and Connor Plummer. I thought that I didn't realize that Zach wasn't in that class the whole season. I thought that he, or maybe did he so not he start had, it, or did because yeah, he's so missing he his had, first two.
Yeah, so he had started the year on a Gas 250. And had a four-stroke 250 and was kind of bouncing around and racing just schoolboy. And then once he got on this KTM 350, really fell into a groove, and that's when he started knocking off some wins.
Yeah, two wins
back. So he had a late start, right. But, yeah, him and Connor are always messing with each other. Connor Plummer's been putting together some awesome rides here as of late. So they're always messing with each other, who's beating who, and they're a good battle to watch. So it'll be cool to see how that one comes down.
Yeah, and then you got Zach Myers running out at the top five there too, with a couple of respectable finishes there. You got a podium, a couple actually. There are two podiums, it looks like, this season in that class. Shout out to the Myers fam, another dedicated group of racers and coming out every
weekend. I think that's been cool to watch too, seeing everybody not only grow but adapt to this style of racing,
yeah,
and how they've improved. I mean, Zach Myers has put it on as of late, up in Hurricane Hills. I was up in the back on the last lap, and man, he was moving.
Yeah,
so third. It's cool seeing all these guys progress and really, really dial in this style.
Yeah, it's great, especially the young guys who are learning too. Like you just mentioned, we're talking about. Both all three of those guys, Connor, Zach, and Zach. And then you got in that same class, you got the old dog, Rich Lafferty, sneaking inside the top 10. You know, he's letting them know that, he's still there. So he's grabbing some hole shots and everything. He's banging bars with the youngsters. So it's great. This is the Open A line. So there's all types of, I'm going through the list right now. I see all types of old names of people that, young rippers and some old heads who have been, around forever that still got to come out and race that class. So that's a fun one. Yeah, that's definitely one that is keeping a good class to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, and it's cool. I feel like most of the time the 250 class gets a little bit deeper than open. So it's cool to see the open class kind of, being a popular class and having the guys really battle it out.
Yeah, it is, and it's great to see. It's up and down too. It's some old heads, old guys, some middle aged folk like us, and then some young kids. Like Zach is even 18. Like some of those kids,
Zach turned 18.
Garrison
Zach Myers,
yeah, it's like 16. Those kids, right. I think they just got off mini bikes.
Connor's just about to turn 17. So yeah, still some young blood there.
Love it. All right, what else you got? Did you go any other ones?
That was all I had. You want to jump to? We can do.
Let's go to
Pro 125.
Oh yeah, let's do Pro 125, and then we'll do Women's AM, and then let's do. Oh, wait, can I break it down by Women's AM? I'm looking at the page. Where's
yeah? There? Yep.
Vintage Women's Show. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that one will be interesting because
Women's BC. That's the one I'd be looking for, right?
Okay.
Is that or is it yep. is it? Or is it Women's Pro Am? Yeah, Women's BC.
Yeah, Pro Am. Women's BC is that's a classic Kara's racing,
Got
Liz
it.
Powers, Bean.
Okay.
Oh, I lied. Carazon in that class. It's just Bean.
Okay. Oh, wait. And is that? Oh, okay. Yeah. And Delilah. Yeah. So, but they all yep. start on the same yep. line then. Yeah.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So shout out to them. Then we'll just, I guess since I have it up here, let's give them a quick mention here. Our top three amateur women's. This is the women's BC class. Looks like Beans might have it locked up, I guess. I don't, 50 points back. I don't think that's mine with her drops. Natalie Hodgson is, I mean, that she would have to win the next two races to get 25.2 first and Beans not show up. So I think she might have that locked up. And speaking of, you know, these parents are getting tired of the season. I know I badgered her old man into buying a big bike, I think. And she'll be out there the rest of the season.
I was about to say, we're going to have a lot more big bikes. Yeah. That makes me happy on that line. I know yeah. Tara just brought her new one home. Jillian, the Beans on a new one. Yeah, Natalie's on one. So most of those girls... I think for the most part, most of the girls are stepping up on a big bike, so yeah. That'll be cool to see too.
Yeah, and then we have third is Delilah Morton, and she has two drops, but she has pretty much been to every round other than that, or two no shows, I should say. And she's tied. Actually, now that I see this, she's tied for third with Kirsten, and I always mess up her last name, Kirsten Garnet, I always say, but I no one's ever yet corrected me, so maybe that is the proper way to say it, but yeah. Either way, I always just call her Kirsten, the 999, I always see her out there on the Cowie, but I think she got on a big bike as well.
Yeah, she's on a big bike as well.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to watch those guys battle it out. I know it's super important for Delilah. I know she's determined to get a top three for the season, I'm sure, and then, of course, Kirsten's probably looking for the same thing. Well,
Delilah's actually up. She's actually up 14.
She's up what? Oh, yes.
She's up 13 points.
Yes, because she won't have any drops. Yes, got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that battle, the battle for third's actually tight between Delilah, Kirsten, and Liv Powers.
Oh, okay.
They're all right there.
Yeah. Okay. Now that I say, yeah, I should have kept looking down there. Okay. And then, yeah. Wow. All right. Well, yeah, that'll be fun.
Liv Powers is coming off an injury, so she's coming back around. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out.
Nice. Yeah, that's a fun one to watch, especially since they are up on the front line there. They're always mixed in with all the pro ladies too, so they get a lot of eyes on them.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right, now we'll go now we'll do women's pro, and then we'll do pro 125, and then we'll do pro. All right, so first place right now in the women's pro class, we have had her on the podcast. She is a dedicated tour racer. That would be Emily Miller. She has not missed a round yet, and she has been very, very consistent. Started off the season with a fifth and a third and a fourth and then a third and a fifth, and then she won four races back-to-back from there on. And then at Dry Branch, she had taken third. So she has a total of 210 points. And with her two drops of... So her two fifth places, that's 16 points a pop. So 32 points. So she'll drop 32 points. That'll put her down to... I got to pull out my calculator.
178.
210 minus 32. Yep, 178. And then Annalisa McElhenney, second place right now.
She'll drop 20.
She's got she'll be dropping 13 and...
Or 14.
Yes, 13 and a 14. So 13 plus 14... And what did we say she had? 180. So she'll be down to 153. So, and we said 162?
Was one, 178.
I don't know where the hell I'm getting these numbers from. 178 and at 153. So that's a pretty good gap. It's not impossible, I don't think. But let's see. It would be... It's 25 points. You know, that's one victory separating them. If it's like a victory and a DNF or
right.
anything can happen, honestly.
Hey, and the other crazy part is, so you have Carly Lee sitting back there in fourth with four wins so far this season. She'll be at the last two rounds.
So she could get another 150 points or 50 points, essentially. 50 points.
She could slide up into the top three pretty easily as well.
She could because Kara will lose. Do you have it in front of you? Or did you already do that math?
Yeah, she's going to be 146.
Okay, so she'll have 146. Oh, and yeah, so we said.
So.
Wow, yeah, so they're almost, I don't want to say almost even, but.
It's going to be close in there. It's going to be tight.
Yeah.
And then you have Megan Robbins, who missed some rounds.
Yeah.
She's coming on strong. And Cheyenne will be back this weekend. Kate Nash will be back this weekend. Ellie Nash stepped up to the. To the pro class.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that.
We're going to have a nice stacked line again this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. That's, I forgot. Yeah. That we're back in, right in Cheyenne's wheelhouse, too. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Cause I'm looking at her results. She went 2-1-2. And then she had that big gap where she missed a bunch of rounds and came right back at Dry Branch with another second place. So, yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. The three, I mean, Carly, I mean, Emily, Anna. This is, man, that's a nail biter. The way the points are shaking out, man. And the girl, the way, because I know those South Jersey girls are going to show up to ready to rock for these last two rounds. So, damn, that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and I don't know if Leah is back on a bike yet, but I know Leah and Cheyenne were out this week cutting in a grass track out at Cheyenne's house. So they, I drove by the field this week and they had that tore up pretty good. So Cheyenne's riding. She's ready to go. She's coming after it. So cool. It'll be cool to watch.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Love the ladies class too. Cause they kind of have a, you know, their own, like their whole own show going on. There's the pro class and everything. And then I feel like they have their whole fan base in their own right. You know, they get a lot of people out to the starting line and all eyes on them, so to speak, because, you know, I feel like if the girls are out there ripping around and, you know, I feel like a lot of the guys kind of keep an eye on that race just to see, like, okay, well, if she's going through the extreme section, then I got to do it too.
Yeah.
You know, like they prove it first and then the boys all follow suit.
And it's funny too, this weekend was, this past weekend was Hammer Run and that's me and Carly's club. So, we were working a section and I was working out and she was there talking to me and a guy pulls up and I'm in my tour gear as always. And the guy pulls up and he looks at Carly and he goes, "You race tour, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yo, what am I, chopped liver?"
Oh gosh. I must have just dropped my call with Sammy. Hang on. Just going to call him back. You guys heard the beep, beep, beep there.
You reached Sam Nick.
Oh, maybe his phone died. Or maybe he was just trying to call me right back. I'm going to keep recording here. See what happens. I'm going to try calling him one more time. I'll bet his phone died.
You reached Sam Nichols at 6.
Yeah, I'm usually the one that gets hollered at for being unprepared and late and not ready, even though my batteries were dead in the recorder right before I called Sammy and then had to call him back. But alas, I believe Sammy's phone has died, and he has left me here with some dead air. I'm just making stuff up here as I go. But we were just in the midst there talking about the women's pro class and how that is shaking out. It looks like it's still going to be anybody's race, or I should say anybody's championship to win, with Miller leading the way, McElhenney behind her, and then Langenbach and Lee and Robbins and Phelps not far behind. It's going to be interesting. Top three is definitely going to shake out. You know, it's definitely going to be different than the way it is right now with Miller, McElhenney, and Langenbach. If I had to guess, I think it's going to look just a little bit different come the end of the season, which again is in two rounds. I don't want to jump ahead and go over the pro class without Sammy. So with that said, I'm just going to pause real quick and try Sammy again. And if I don't get him, I'll just hop right back on here. And we'll go over the pro class just with me. And then we'll wrap it all up. Just give me a sec here. See if I can get Sammy back. Hello, Sammy.
Sorry, my phone died.
I was just roasting you a little bit there. I had a feeling because I tried calling you back and I just left the recorder going. So I was like, this will be fun. Just a little feature, just Luke there, you know, talking in circles for a second.
I'm back. But,
yeah, you're back and I got you. Yeah, we're live. Exactly. We're live. But I guess you're standing
there.
Those
girls have their own fan club. I mean, we were standing there and she pulls up and that guy acted like that guy had no idea who I was.
Yeah.
Sure knew who Carly was from tour.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's she's a ripper. I mean, it's crazy. She goes out there and destroys the track. I mean, that's why she's in her appearances. She is undefeated this year at the races. So
yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. And I think that's hilarious too. The guy had no idea. Excuse me. No idea who the heck you were.
So yeah, that's cool. It's cool, and I love it. I love that those girls have that platform and have the opportunity.
Yeah, this is great.
I grew up riding with. I was in a group, and it was four girls, and I rode with them all the time. So, it's cool now that there's a series that's really promoting, you know, this women's pro-am class.
Yeah, no doubt. I hope they do feel, you know, they feel loved because I mean, I think they're rock stars. I think it's awesome. And I know that even like the young riders, the young boys and girls, you know, they all have their kind of, you know, kind of look up to those fast kids like superheroes, you know, the fast guys like superheroes almost. We all can remember what it's like being a 5, 6, 7, or even like, you know, a 10, 12, 13 year old at the racetrack. And when the fastest kid, guy or gal comes by, you're like, oh my God, you know, there he is. So
yeah,
I hope they feel,
I forget about it too sometimes with this being Carly's first year in WXC, but I mean, you know, if for those girls, and I hope one day for, you know, my little girl, you know, Carly's the one that's up there on that front line. So it's cool that she gets to come home and ride with these girls that are on super mini sometimes, you know, and they can really see, hey, like I can do that. I can go run up on the front line. So
love it. Love our ladies, ladies of tour across the board, not just the racers, but our ladies of tour and, all of our moto moms and our wives, girlfriends, everybody that comes out of the, you know, we got a place for everybody, all of our significant others and our daughters. It's all inclusive, very family friendly. If you're not a regular, you haven't been, you might've heard about it, or maybe you're just stumbling on it, or maybe you're just listening to this podcast because you heard that Sammy Nix was going to be on it. I don't know. but again, yeah, if you're thinking about getting your family involved, bring them out. We got lots of good role models, guys and gals alike. So it's a great place to raise your kids.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now enough of corny little promotions there. Yep. I got you back on the line here.
Back to the points.
Yeah. We're coming up on 30 minutes here. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got to get back to the baby and we both got work tomorrow. So
yeah.
Okay, Pro 125. But again, real quick, close out with the ladies there. Again, it was Emily Miller, Annalisa McElhinney, and Kara Langebach, again, with a couple others right outside of the top three. And now moving on to our Pro-Am 125 Dash for Cash. Again, this is only one moto. It is obviously what it says. It's Pro-Am. You could be, you know, you don't have to be pro or you know, you could be an amateur guy if you want. Just come on out. And just be on a small bore, 125 up to 150 cc. And a couple guys double dip in that class. A lot of guys do, actually. A lot of our guys that are on the front line in the pro class also break out the small bore or borrow one from anybody, their buddies or their wives. I know a couple of guys are out there just basically run what you're brung type of thing. It's just really more or less more seat time for some of the guys. And of course we love our two strokes and our 125. So giving a place for them to come out and mix it up and make a little bit of cash money while they're at it. And right now the top three as it sits right now in third is Kyle Grenewicks. Second place is Ryan Quinn, Sneaky Quinn in second, the defending champ. And then Lucas Seelman in first place right now.
Lucas is pretty much got it locked up. I think if he comes out to last two and finishes, he'll have that deal locked up.
Okay, yeah. Look, without doing the dropping right now, it's Their totals are pretty far apart. They're almost 75 points apart. It's 62. It's 151 for Quinn Dog to Lucas's 213. So, yeah, that's he can't make. I don't think he can make that up. It looks like Lucas has it all but wrapped up. Wow, that's so. We finally came down to one class that looks like it's going to be finished early.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as long as he finishes out and gets some kind of points, I mean, barring a mechanical or an injury, he's got a pretty good shot at it.
Man, that's tough for Quinn. I know he's not going to give up that easily, but it's been a long season for him on the small bore. He, you know, again, one of those guys who double dips, pro line and the pro 125 guy. He, again, won the Triple Crown last year, so he is our quote-unquote defending champion. He rocks the red number one plate on the KX125, and he has one DNF or one no-show, I guess you would call it, and that was Eagle's Nest. But he's been to every other round, and it didn't have
a podium. And the last round was his best round.
That's so it. Yeah, yeah.
He's coming around.
Yeah, he's gaining steam as we end the going to the end of the season here. He had he's been consistent. I mean, it's been a little rocky start. He was eighth first round, and then he went fifth, fourth, fourth, fifth, fifth, fourth, fifth, third. So if nothing else, he is consistent, but it might not be enough to back-to-back champs on the 125. But commendable effort, man. I'll tell you what, I didn't know that he was – you know, battling it out still for the lead there, but it looks like Lucas is just going to be able to pull away with it. And then our buddy Kyle, I love to see him up there in the top three right now. He missed a couple rounds early on, had a DNF, didn't get any points at Eagle's Nest, and then he went fourth, third, first. He won at Hurricane Hills, third, and then he got first again. He won at Dry Branch, so he's been on a tear. I know that he's again one of our double dippers, pro line guy, and he raced aboard a RMZ 250 for the majority of this season. That's the Suzuki four stroke, and obviously he didn't race that in the pro 125 class. He races a YZ 125, but I guess it was, I don't know if it was after Mad Bass or maybe it was after Hurricane Hills. I think that's what it was. I think it was after Hurricane Hills that Tegan kind of got in his ear and was like, dude, you got to ditch the Suzuki. It's killing you. Because it was, you know, Kyle would be, you know, he would crash or just stall out. And then he would, you know, unfortunately, it's you know, without sounding like, you know, a stereotype, but the Suzuki still has the kicker. And he'd be in there kicking that thing, you know, 100 times in the woods, waste all of his energy and lose all that time. And he was doing well on his YZ, obviously, as I just mentioned. So Tegan was like, dude, you should just ditch that Suzuki and race the 125 in the pro class for the rest of the season. And I think that's what Kyle's going to do, because that's what he did at the last race, and he had pretty good results. So, again, that's kind of getting off topic from pro 125, but I'm just using it as a good example to say that the 125 still has its place out there. You know, it's obviously a little less power, but it's more nimble, a little bit easier to ride, a little bit more forgiving. So, I mean, guys can win in the pro class on it. That's all I say. And obviously it's working for Kyle after getting off his, four stroke. So love to see that the YZ 125 can still be competitive in the pro class.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good little stepping stone to get over it into the pro class.
It is. Yeah. So, then moving on again from the top three is, Kyle McDonald, where he races aboard his wife's Beta 125, and then it's Chris Wise. He is out on injury, but he was off to a hot start. He swept the first three rounds, 1-1-1, and then it's been injured pretty much since then. And then floating way back there is Tyler Stepik. He has two back-to-back victories from his two showings at Bud's Creek. And then Tucker Bettages is back there, and then you got Ranger. He actually raced it once or twice, but then stepped away from it. And a handful of other guys floating around in that class, but nobody else that has really showed up to a majority of the races. That it's at kind of that top three, top four right now that are showing up consistently. So they should finish that pretty it looks honestly like if I had to guess, I'd say that's how it would finish out. I would say it would probably finish out Seelman, Quinn, Greenewicks.
I mean, if unless Kyle puts it together, and him and with the drop, him and Ryan are about 10 points apart. So, I mean, it is still a little, you know, there's still room there. But,
there is,
yes. But for the most part, those guys are, they got the podium covered anyway.
Yeah, they're kind of settled in. All right, so we'll wrap here with our blah, 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 pro class. Scooting up here on the website. There we go. Okay. Again, this has been an awesome, battle to watch all season. I didn't want to use that word battle, but just fun watching the back and forth and who shows up and the who's who's. But it is Emmons, McDonald, Seelman, 1, 2, and 3 right now. And gone.
And pretty darn tight too.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking. I was gonna say so. I did a little bit of the math here. I'm gonna have to check it because I did this without your help or without anybody's help, and that's usually not a good idea. So, all right. So obviously, I just mentioned it was Emmons, McDonald, Seelman. It's Ranger, Kyle, and Lucas. And look at that, Lucas Seelman. You know, showing poking his head through on the podium right now on two of the premier classes, and he is still a young buck too. I don't even think he's 19, 18, something like that, right?
In that range.
Okay, yeah, I would say he's not quite 16, but he's also not 21. He's somewhere in that area. But he's up there battling it out with a couple. I guess Ranger's another young buck too. I was going to say a couple of old heads, but Kyle being really the only one who has. Might only be the one over 21 in that group, honestly.
There's about a 10-year age gap between Ranger and Kyle, which is pretty crazy to think.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. And all right, so let's get down to the points here, the nitty-gritty. We talk about old McDonald here and the young Ranger danger. So, okay, 186 total points for Ranger. He showed up to every round, so he will have two drops. He had a seventh to start off the season and an eighth at Mad Bass. So that is 14th and or 14 points and 13 points respectively. So that's a total of 27 if that checks out. And then 186 minus 27 is 159. Does that sound about right?
Yep, okay. Right on.
So he'll be with 159 after drops, and McDonald is 150 total. He has no drops because he missed two rounds, so...
He actually missed three rounds.
Did he? Oh.
Yeah.
Huh, I don't know why it didn't... So okay, yeah, I see that now. Yeah, it's registering as a zero for Hurricane Hills, but for Eagle's Nest and for Bear Creek, it just doesn't have anything filled in, so I don't know why that happened.
I think it was because he was signed up. For
that's right. That's Hill. Right. He did. I remember that story now. Yeah, he pre-registered.
He went to go take on Niter.
Oh, that's...
I think I remember.
Yeah, okay. I remember this now. Yes, there was some sort of one of those old school long distance races. I think they called them. Is it a hair scramble? They call it.
No, I think they're them enduros.
Oh, is that what it was? One of those. Okay, got it.
Them enduros.
I've heard of those.
They're no fun.
Oh, God.
But yeah, and then Lucas will drop. He'll only drop 6 points, so he'll be 139.
Okay.
So they're all still pretty close. And then Kyle Granowitz is right there, too. I mean, you start going down that list and start going scores, it's going to get real tight.
Yeah. After the top five, it looks like it's going to – well, even – I mean, shit, that's Quinn. Actually, Quinn is
– Yeah.
He's right behind Dylan Hicks, so 5 and 6. I mean, 4. Greenewicks is going to drop. Man, it's
I mean, Corey and Dylan, Reggio too. I mean, they both Dylan or Corey doesn't have any drops, but Reggio have at least one drop. So, I mean, they're all right there battling. And then you got, you know, sneaky. You got Hunter Bush still hiding in there.
I know.
I would take a guess. He'll be at the next two rounds too. So.
Yeah, and then the Lasher, he missed the last three, it looks like. I haven't heard – I know he's kind of local down by you, isn't he?
He's a local guy. He got married, so I'm sure he's
gotcha. Okay, okay. I was just wondering maybe if it was injury or something. Gotcha. So he's still outside. Just he could still finish top 10 if he comes back out for the next couple rounds. And just outside the top 10 right now is Enman. I have a feeling we might see him again. And then I have another good feeling, not confirmed. I haven't talked to him, but maybe I should shoot him a text here soon. Just check in with him, say what's up. That would be Tyler Stepik. Obviously, we got to know Tyler down at Bud's Creek, and he was talking about trying to make it up for at least the final round at Motorsports Park. So I might see him again, and then
I think if we get some rain, I think we'll see him for sure.
Yeah. Hopefully, he brings some of his buddies too. I know there was kind of I was watching from afar, seeing some posts, guys talking back and forth. Some other, local pro guys that were, saying it was the end of the year. Oh, we should all go race a tour, this, that, the third. I don't want to give away too much because I'm going to try and maybe set up a podcast with some of those guys. But
gotcha.
There's just a good possibility that we'll see some local fast guys crawl out of the woodwork.
And we had a couple of those guys show up at the last round. And once they seen the dust, they said, "Hey, no, you all crazy woods guys, keep this stuff.
Yeah, go enjoy yourself."
I know they were giving Quinn a hard time. They told Quinn if he rode like that at a nationals, he'd be a top 20 guy, no doubt.
That's hilarious. I didn't catch any of that. I don't know who was around it. Anybody we would know?
Dropping my mind at the moment. Two of the motor guys, they raced with us. The one raced with us down at Bud's Creek. Okay. With Stepik.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's a couple of dudes here. I was like,
Stemple.
That's what I was going to say. Yep. Stemple. Yeah, I'm looking at Hunter Stemple. I'm looking at his name right now. Yeah, he was ripping down at Bud's. That's for sure. He went 5-5 in the pro class at Bud's that weekend. So, yeah, that would make sense. And then I haven't heard from Thorne in a while. I usually drop him a text every once in a while before, some of the PA rounds or some of the closer races, and he's been busy. I think he's still wrapping up his recovery from that wrist and everything, kind of taking some time away from the bike and racing and everything, but hopefully we see him back out again. And then gosh, some of these other names I just don't think we'll see. I'd love to see Mikey Beeler back out there in the pro class, maybe one of the last rounds, but
I think he's on the vintage deal pretty good.
Okay, he had some fun. That's more his speed for sure nowadays, I guess. Dylan Pastock, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention him. He's made it out to almost every round. He's missed a few here and there. Matt Davis, that would be Annalisa's brother. There's Wally, of course, Hunter Keen. There's a handful of guys who I know are floating around out there that maybe we'll come back out for some racing near the end of the season. But,
Wally made a post this week about breaking out the old gas motorcycle.
Out
the Kawasaki.
Lovely.
So maybe we'll see a return of Wally on a fuel injected motorcycle.
Love to see electric form. Yeah, petrol burning motorcycle and not one of those Tesla bikes. I joke. If people haven't gotten my humor by now about my resentment towards electric bikes, then I don't know. I guess I'll just I'll become that crotchety old man that still complains about things how they were back in my day.
They're one of these days they're just going to see me and you brawling at the finish line. It's going to be over an electric bike.
Yeah, probably.
That or if I start the vintage race without you.
Yeah, I'm just going to ghost ride. I'm going to ghost ride right into the guy with the flag by accident. boy, I joke about that as well. But in case anybody missed that too, I missed my Moto 2 vintage start last weekend at the Dry Branch because I was doing a youth podium, just doing my job, my duty to tour. And would you believe it, the bastards couldn't even hold the race for, an extra minute for the poor guy up on the podium doing the actual hard work of the series, It is what it is, it's a thankless job, but somebody's gotta do it.
Hey, listen, that is the testament to Tor. I told Tegan, I'm not holding the race for nobody no more. When my clock says it's time to go, it's time to go.
I respect it. You know, if nothing else, you are consistent.
I try.
All right, bud. Well, we're looking at just about what we were talking about, just about 40 minutes of some airtime here. Was there anything else, any quick notes or reminders that we wanted to just put out there for this weekend in particular?
Just my normal gig. Guys, please respect the property. This is an active farm. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome piece of property. Please respect it. Keep the trash. We are in Jersey, guys. You have to stay off of the track.
Mm-hmm.
And then last but not least, if you are not by your motorcycle, keep it locked up. Put it in the van. Put it in the bed of your truck. Throw a chain around it. Throw a lock on the rotors. Keep bikes locked up, guys. Would hate to see somebody have an issue. Just be friends with your neighbors. Keep an eye out for everybody and keep the bikes locked up.
Yep. Yeah, as always, look out for each other and see something, say something.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't be afraid to wave me down, wave Luke down, wave Tegan down.
Yep. Yep. So. Yep, that's about it.
Yeah, other than that, can't wait to see everybody this weekend.
Yeah, same here, bud. It's going to be another beautiful weekend. Can't believe it's November. Feels like summer is still holding on. We're fortunate in that sense, but we do need some rain, and we'll be able to wrap up our first full year of racing. Our whole 12 round, 13 round series, whatever the heck it is we got here. And I can't believe it. I know we're not done yet, but it's definitely feeling like, you know, it's feeling like we're in the, you know, the
home stretch.
The home stretch. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it definitely feels like it. I can't believe we're a whole year removed already from you know, Motorsports Park last year, basically. So all good stuff to come. Oh, and hey, Tucson, that reminds me. We don't have anything set in stone yet, but there will be a banquet. I don't have the details. I know Tegan has been scoping out a few different locations, so keep your eyes tuned to social media for the release date and all that information. That would be for the banquet, end of the year awards and all that stuff. One last time for us all to get together, look back on the season, check out some of the video highlights and everything, and have some good food, some good company, and celebrate an awesome year of racing. So again, that's the banquet. Stay tuned for that. And I think I am just about out of reminders. I don't have anything special. At least nobody told me to remind anybody or, you know, put anything out there. Tegan hasn't told me anything special just yet. But again, you never know what's up his sleeve. So keep your eyes tuned to social media, the Instagram story, Facebook, all that good stuff. And if you need anything, just send us a DM or give us an email. Old school email works as well. But yep, that's it. I'm not going to waste any more of my breath or your time. Sammy, I appreciate you coming back on here and chopping it up, dude.
Anytime. I love getting on here and shooting some shit with you.
Sounds good, bud. I will see you in a couple days, man. Yeah. We'll be back down there for the Judge GP round 2. All right.
Everybody, this weekend.
See ya.